Today on Real Life Radio.
We need encouragement to encourage other people. Would you say amen to that? You and I need to be encouraged so that we can encourage other people. And Peter gives that. He gives that encouragement by putting that calling upon your life. Encouraged by God's calling on your life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. U.S. strikes, Israel on alert, Iran escalating. Does anyone else feel like today's headlines sound straight out of Bible prophecy? Jesus told us these days would come, not so we'd panic, but so we'd be prepared. That's why we created the Prophecy Pack, Understanding God's Plan for the Future, a practical guide to help you live ready. Don't just watch the news. Understand it through God's Word. Get your Prophecy Pack now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, and a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1. The Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter understood the times that they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big God is, and he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. Now, as we begin chapter 5, we'll see how Peter is turning his attention towards the leaders of the church. We know from previous verses that the church is on the run. But from the very beginning, the church was meant to be a living, breathing organism with no address or structure. Even today, we are all ministers of the gospel of God and leaders in our own right. Real divine leadership is to serve and be served. So today, here on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we ourselves need encouragement as we encourage others. And Peter does just exactly that. As a witness of the sufferings of Christ, Peter tells us that there's a greater glory that awaits us. And now with his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I'm going to give you 4 things that are very important for where we're going. You got to write this down in your introduction to this. It sounds very self-serving, but it's the Bible, I remind you. And it's very serious. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, 7. Regarding ministers, each and every one, the Bible says, regarding those who are instructing you, it says, remember. The word remember here in Hebrews 13, 7 means to go back, comb it over in your mind, let it ponder in your mind, ask yourself questions. What is this? Remember those who rule over you. We'll define that later. Who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Hebrews 13, 7 tells us regarding Christian leaders that they are to be judged by the flock. Has the flock been convinced that those who are presiding over them as leaders, are they worthy in their lifestyle to follow? The next thing that you understand in verse 7 is that they have a faith that you can mimic. It means to walk in the same shadow of. And you understand this, that there is a judgment coming in the end. And those who are ministers and Christians, you and I, called by God to live our Christian life, we all realize there's a day of reckoning coming. That you and I live in a constant awareness that judgment for the believer is coming. You know that, don't you? You and I live understanding that the Lord is someday going to require an account. Number 2, Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey. The word means to have confidence in those in whom you can trust, your spiritual leaders. Obey those who rule over you. Second time it has said rule over you. And be submissive. Why? This goes against all of our modern day grain. Well, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. In other words, listen, you ought to go to a church where the leadership actually loves you, and they are in the fear of God, knowing that what the leadership teaches is something that it has to be answered to God in the end. and that they watch out for your souls. If you're visiting this church today, or you're on vacation, you're gonna go back to your community, you ought to go to a church that you understand that the staff, the pastoral teaching ministry, the people serving, the teams of all the various ministries, that you understand one thing. These are people watching out for my soul. And can I say this? A lot of people go to church because they're lonely, and that's fine. But you shouldn't go to church to have the pastor or pastors be your friends. So what do you mean? We are supposed to be, if we're called by God, to watch out for your soul. According to the Bible, to those who are called by God, we're ministering the word of God to you in such a way that it's independent of your preference or your feeling. That we are to give you the truth if it hurts or not. That it's not about a popularity game. Today we have rock star pastors all across America, if not around the world. And everyone's vying for the biggest amount of tweets or clicks or, you know what I'm saying? God knows nothing about this. God's standard is this. I have put people in the church who are completely devoted to giving the flock of God the word of God, and they better not waver on that left hand or right, because you've been called, if you're called, to watch out for the souls of others. What does that mean? It means that I ought to care more about your soul than maybe you do. How's that lived out? Because I'm going to tell you the truth, even if you hate me. That's the call. Peter is talking to a church that needs leadership, that needs love, that needs guidance. And you read four verses a moment ago that exhibits the very heart of God himself. Loving, tenderness, care. The next thing is Hebrews 13, 18 that says, pray for us. Pray for us. So you're to remember us. That's kind. You're to obey because you recognize over time that we are here to watch out for your souls. All the while, by the way, never ruling over you. Boy, I can't wait for a week or two to get into what that means. Because there's a lot of ministries out there today walking around and they're demanding that people do exactly. We, the council came together, the board made this decree regarding your life and all this stuff. And Jesus says, I hate that. But that's for some other day. Finally, Hebrews 13, verse 24, it says, greet, that is recognize or acknowledge or salute, frankly, all those who rule over you. Salute them. Some of your Bibles, I think, translations say, kiss those who rule over you. We're not going to do that. You're going to keep your germs to yourself, and just a salute is fine. By the way, you ought to look up the history of a salute. It's kind of cool. A salute is to make sure you're to raise your head up to make sure that you're not an invader or a covert operator. You were to salute, which means you were to stand erect, and the symbol is the raising of a cloak or of a hood or of a hat. To salute means to unveil your face. Listen, you and I, according to the Bible right here, as pastor of this church, one of the pastors of this church, you are to salute me. How's that? Woo! It just simply means that you are to acknowledge. That's simply it. There's another Jack sitting here in the front row. Jack the Jack, pair of Jacks. I know that. And I salute you. And it just means I acknowledge them. It's part of the family. And by the way, I know this. You people, some of you, you'll go. I'm either in the foyer or I'm in the courtyard after services. And there are people, they'll see that I'm there. I can see them. I'm watching them. And they see, there's Jackie's over there. Okay, I'm just going to walk around. And you don't acknowledge it. I'm watching you. I just want you to know I'm watching you. And it's just, I'm invisible to you. Have you ever had people say, I don't like the church because nobody said hi to me? You should be me. Very few people say hi to me. What's wrong? It's just me. But the Bible commands you to acknowledge hi. Say, I don't like you. Tough. Are you a Christian? Yeah. You have to say hi to me anyway. Bible says so. You have to remember me. You have to obey. You have to pray. You have to greet. No, but if you're loved on, you should rally to that. Why? Because I understand that you're watching out for my soul, Pastor. That you're going to tell me the truth no matter what. Because it's the truth that sets me free. So ministers, each and every one, here we go. Our first argument is this, found in verse 1, is that we need encouragement to encourage other people. Would you say amen to that? You and I need to be encouraged so that we can encourage other people. And Peter gives that. He gives that encouragement by calling upon or putting that calling upon your life. Encouraged by God's calling on your life. He says in verse 1, the elders who are among you, says Peter, I exhort. Tremendous words here. The word elders, you should circle that. And it's the word presbyteros. Did you recognize that word? Presbyteros in Greek? The presbytery or the Presbyterian church. It's a form of leadership. The elders. What does the word mean? It simply means this. Those who are weathered, experienced, knowledgeable, and grounded in the truth. It's actually irregardless of age, although it just goes to argue that the longer a man has served the Lord honestly, there should be greater experiences. It's not pushing away younger people. It's just saying, by the time you meet somebody who's senior in age, they should have a lot of experience with Jesus behind them. And Peter, by the way, is that elder. He's an old man when he's writing, and he has great experiences. You know, there's nothing worse than to see a Christian who's been a Christian for 60 years and has no knowledge of the Bible, has no ministry influence. By that time, you should be a Moses type or a Joshua type or a Solomon type to a church.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. To learn more about this ministry or to catch up on some previous episodes, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get back to today's message. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
He says, to the elders who are among you. And you see the word among? A couple times we read that in just four verses, among. The word among means to be prepositioned. It means to be in the proximity of. Listen, this is very important. It means the location of you, the placement of you, the physical location of a person in a place. So he says to the elders, the ones who are battle-hardened and seasoned, experienced Christians called by God to be involved in the operations of the church, that is the love and care of the body, he says, note where they're at. I'm speaking to you to exhort you where you're at. That's what the word among is, among. And I think that's vitally important. I hope you do too. If we're really going to be a church family, you know, everybody talks these days about transparency. I'm sick of hearing about it. Transparency, transparency. The people who invented that talk were the least transparent. It's hypocrisy. But in the operations of the church life and the organism of the church, we should be, with wisdom, transparent and understanding and discerning. And Peter says, you're going to find God's leaders where? Among the flock of God. They don't live in some remote location. They don't come in here in like a little track, motorized track. Bzzz. Speak and leave. Maybe there's those that have got to catch the next plane and that's all they do. They're itinerant evangelist or whatever. That's it, fine. But elders, no. You should go to a church where you can touch and feel, as it were, the leadership. Or else it's not leadership. It's corporate. It's Harvard. It's Yale. I don't know, but it's not church. Are you hearing me? A church and its leadership should be the example. And according to Jesus, he says, if I'm one at the table among you who serves, he's going to tell them later, you go out and do the same thing. It was Jesus Christ who washed their feet on that Passover night. We have lived in a culture recently that has grandized the ministry. Do you hear that? That's an oxymoronic statement. It's an oxymoron. Reserved parking for the minister. Special seating for the minister. special privileges for the minister. That's oxymoronic. Oh, don't talk to him. He's the pastor. Listen, yes, the word pastor's in the Bible. Bishop, pastor, all these things are there. But you know what? Let's remember, it says, and we're going to learn about it, Jesus is the chief shepherd. So personally, I'll get letters from pastors with what I'm about to say. I think at best, I view myself and all pastors as sheepdogs. There's one chief shepherd. Best I can do is be a sheepdog in my book. And I'm going to get a letter for that. You just defamed my office. That's too bad. But remember, Luke 22:27, Jesus says, I am among you as one who serves. I love that. In John chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love what that suggests in my mind. He did always that which was good for the people, for the disciples, for the flock. The Bible tells us, by the way, this is going to encourage some of us. In Luke chapter 7, the Bible tells us that the religious Pharisees hated Jesus because he could always be found talking with prostitutes, tax collectors, and common people. What do you think about that? Let me tell you right now. You can't have Jesus talking to those kinds of people when you are a legalistic, self-righteous individual who must have a padded cell, so to speak, of existence. You understand that? Listen, now look, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go to a brothel to preach the gospel. Don't be dumb. But if a prostitute were to walk in here, or a publican, a common person, listen, the legalistic person who knows not God goes like this. Oh my goodness, look at, not Jesus. Jesus would be the one who would say, hey, you want to borrow my cloak? Are you cold? Do you need a drink? Welcome to Calvary. What would Jesus do? Seriously, welcome. And listen, he loves them enough to invite them in, but he loves them enough to not let them stay the same. Because he knows that they need to be rescued from their lifestyle. And what about your incredibly awesome, self-righteous, perfectly wonderful self? You are lostness. He wants to deliver us from our pride. The pendulum swings wide on this. And he reaches out and he loves. And he does that through his people. He does it through us. It's absolutely amazing. But God's got a call upon your life as a believer. And Jesus' example to us is to love unto the end. In John chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, I have come, Jesus is speaking, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's ministry. Wow. And the Christian leader is to be among the people, as I said, not over the people. You cannot give your life for them unless you're with them. In 1 Corinthians 4, in 1 Corinthians 4, listen to what Paul's understanding of being Christian ministers and servants to the Lord Jesus is. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. See the word servants there in 1 Corinthians 4? I brought this to your attention some time ago in another book of the Bible that we were studying. It's that incredible word, huperetes. So what is that? The huperetes. I want to show you a picture of a Roman galley, a Roman warship. And this is a good representation. Do you guys see the upper rows? Do you see the oars that are further out into the water? That's the top deck. Those are rowers, both hands on one oar. You are on a 2x4. Look, yet one, I'm sorry to tell you this, it's just the way that it is. One cheek of your bum, B-U-M, one cheek of your bum is on one 2x4, and the other cheek of your bum is on another 2x4, and there's about a 3-inch gap in between the two planks. Do you see what I see? And that's where you sit, and you are an what would be a classy name, an oarsman. And you're on the top. If you're on the top, you are a slave and you are guilty of certain crimes that have allowed you to sit on the top. But if you were really a bad criminal in the empire and you were sentenced to slavery in the Roman world, you were the huperetes. You were on the bottom row. You see the shorter oars that are in the water? You're underneath. And you are in this position for days at sea. And the people on top are chained to their location. When they gotta go, they gotta go. And you're beneath. You're the huperetes. The Bible calls us the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people on the lower deck. And you might be thinking, and you want me to sign up for this? Well, no, I mean, I hope God wants you to sign up for this. It means this, that you and I take it in life. All of the stuff that man can give us, all of the stuff that people can dump on us, because we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the opinions of people is irrelevant. You are galvanized against that. Listen to me. As a Christian, you're galvanized against these criticisms. They may or may not be true. It's irrelevant. You're serving Jesus, not people. Somebody once said to a pastor, I don't know. Wow, that's such a big church. I don't understand. I don't even see how you keep all these people happy. It's impossible. You don't even try. You please one and one only, and you let him. Listen, you are the sheep of his pasture. I'm the sheepdog. By the way, I am a sheep, as you are. It's all about him. And to be in that position is to be the Christian that says, I have no rights. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of the Most High God. God, here I am. Use me for whatever you would have me to do. Can you imagine being deployed in a military situation and the private says something back to the sergeant? I don't like those orders. Little does he know that that came from a colonel or from a general or a brigadier general, and maybe that general got it from the Northern Command, and maybe the Northern Command got it from the president. And here's this, look, the private, they're not a private, he doesn't think that's a good idea. Are you with me? There's a command to this, there's a chain to this. And the Lord Jesus says, love my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And by the way, remember who he said that to? He said it to Peter. You can't help but believe it's coming out of Peter in this. And then it says the word exhort here. Look at that word that he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. This word is strong. It's hard to say. It means to call near. So Peter's saying, I'm calling you leaders near to me, and I'm going to keep calling you. That's what it means. Parakaleo. I'm calling you near me. I got something to say to you. I'm exhorting you. Watch this. I'm telling you right now, as an elder, because we're going to see in a moment, I'm a fellow elder. I'm calling you alongside. I got something to say to you. And I'm, though your servant, I'll do anything that you need. I am Peter. But I have a strong grip on what I'm saying to you. It's hard for us to understand that. Listen, we want Christian leaders maybe really wimpy, and we can push them around and make them tell us in counseling sessions what we want to hear. Listen, it happens here, it happens everywhere. People will go to a pastor and they'll ask something about something, the pastor will give an answer, they don't like it, and so they make another appointment with another pastor. No, I'm not kidding. And then a third, fourth pastor, and then we finally find out in staff meetings, wait, you saw that person too? What are you doing? You're looking for someone to agree with your sin. Don't tell me the truth. I'll have to change. But people don't want to hear it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part One. So glad you took the time to be with us today. And you know, as ministers of Christ, our hope is in heaven, a living hope that doesn't lose its strength or fade away. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part One is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. U.S. strikes. Israel on alert. Iran escalating. Does anyone else feel like today's headlines sound straight out of Bible prophecy? Jesus told us these days would come, not so we'd panic, but so we'd be prepared. That's why we created the Prophecy Pack, Understanding God's Plan for the Future, a practical guide to help you live ready. Don't just watch the news. Understand it through God's Word. Get your Prophecy Pack now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.